Blog Talk Radio.
Excited. Episode 3. We got 2 in the books. DC, you ready to go today?
Good morning, children.
Good morning. Dude, listen, man. This is another exciting week here. We got a little help from the IFM radio folks here to get us on air. I've been appreciating those guys. And we got a good show today. So, DC, are you ready for the week? You feel prepared? You feel like you got in there? You got the right lineup in? You ready to dominate this week? You feeling it?
My lineups are mostly set. I have one injury I'm waiting on.
Okay, who are you waiting on?
Gibson.
So we will go over that right around 11:30 when that final injury report comes out. Definitely going to keep you posted so that you are prepared to win your matchup. Also, if you want to call in to the show, ask any questions about your lineup, any big questions, 515-605-9898. And you can search Brickhouse Fantasy Radio if you want to listen to this a little later. But let's get into some fantasy football, man. I've got some like a discussion to be had. It's injury related. I know we'll hit more on the injuries at 11:30. But we kind of started a discussion last night about it. A little interesting, just because there's some big names. But the Titans.
Yeah.
The AJ Brown, Julio Jones.
Throughout the week.
Both guys out. Ugh. With hamstring. This is the week of the hamstring. A lot of hammies coming out, but it was interesting to me, and we kind of got into it back and forth about who you want to gamble with, because with A.J. Brown and Julio Jones out, that leaves room for, like, a Fursker at the tight end position, Chester Rogers, and you're not – you didn't like the Rogers idea very much. That's who I picked up as the gamble, because I don't think there's any definitive answers there. But what are you thinking about this? You think Tannehill just stops throwing the ball, or you think they kind of are forced to help Henry out?
I think Tannehill is probably guaranteed for 250 yards.
Okay.
So,
are you starting Tannehill at all? And even in like that 2-quarterback situation, you'd think he's a starter or assist this week?
Play. I mean, chase the Jets. Like, what the hell, right?
Yes, that's the theme. We've been going over this. We got to either chase the Jets,
Texans. Like, even if I was terrified of the hamstring problems at receiver, which I'm not, I would probably still feel like Tannehill's a fine play just because the Jets, like, a professional quarterback playing Jets is probably a solid play in fantasy.
Sure. Any of the backups to A.J. Brown or Julio Jones that you kind of like? Nobody worth playing.
So I think that they're all emergency plays. Like, none of them are, oh, wow, this is the sleeper play of the week, you know. Any of the people you would pick in this case are, you know, you're hurting. You need a guy, and you said, okay, let me see what Tennessee people are available in my league. I wouldn't expect that any of these people are rostered. I mean, we're talking Firkser or Swaim, Jeff Swaim, the M.
Yeah, tight end, right? Tight end,
okay.
Right.
Okay, and then you got Josh Reynolds, you know, some guy with two last names. And then you got
Westbrook Akeem, yeah.
Okay, him, yeah. And then you got Rodgers. So I think that's five guys that are kind of like, okay, they're all in the mix. And the reason they're all in the mix is because none of them really stand out.
Okay, fair enough. But how do we discuss chasing a team, a bad team, and then the two top wideouts happen to be out the same week? And not at least consider somebody, one of these guys is going to be like a really good flex play this week.
I agree.
Which
with
one?
That. No,
we
I,
don't
I
know.
I agree with that. I would just say it's irresponsible to claim that we're doing anything other than guessing on who that's going to be.
But that's what fantasy football is, man.
No.
Come on.
Wrong.
It's educated
wrong.
Guessing.
Don't, no,
educated
don't
guessing.
Don't lie to the public, David. Listen, when we play the fantasy football, what we do is we study the previous histories of the data to try to project what's going to happen in the future.
You're right.
With
so
all
a lot
five
of people.
These players, like, we don't have significant data to study and project on any of these five people. And if we were to study the data and project any of these five people, the projection would be that they suck. So,
okay, but
we
that's
know,
not, that's not the
but
point.
We know,
that's not the point.
Stop it. But we know that Tannehill is going to score 250 yards. So we can sit here and try to guess who's it going to be, and someone's going to be right and someone's going to be wrong. But I want to sit here and tell you, hey guys, play Josh Reynolds. Like, I know, like it's dangerous, reckless speculation. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know what, sometimes that gets me going on a Sunday because when you hit on those, you end up winning your matchup.
Yeah.
And those are the type of things where if you can guess right on those more than once, maybe two or three times in a season, you end up in your finals or making the playoffs, even though you probably didn't deserve to. So my question, that's the only reason I went with the Rodgers is, again, I don't have all of the statistical data that ESPN has.
Right.
But for some reason, they enjoyed that Chester Rodgers had, what, five or six targets last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, he only caught one of them or two of them, but the targets are there, and they've got him ranked, even though you brought up Josh Reynolds. He's a big guy, so could see a little love, but for whatever reason, they've got him as nothing. Like, at the bottom of the pack.
Like,
I mean,
projected
got,
zero?
Pretty close. Okay. I think you've got him at 6.5 projected, and then the Rodgers, they got him at 11.7, which is, that's a usable number.
Very
people
usable.
People who collect this. So, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. I picked up Rodgers. I'm not going to play him this week just because I'm not dealing with injuries, but another team, you know, in another world, you could definitely put him in a flex situation, and I think he will meet. I don't think exceed, but will meet right around where they got him projected. He's also helped with punt and kick return yards, so depending on your league, that could really play a factor into whether or not you want to put him in that flex position. But I just thought this was an interesting, because this is a team that had two of their main receivers out. The other, actually, there's another one, the Giants. Sterling Shepard, Darius Slayton. I know it's just the Giants. So sorry if you're a Giants fan listening. But those are two guys out, leaving just kind of Kenny Galladay, who's been kind of banged up a bit this season too. So that, those are the two teams this week that have kind of their top guys both out for the season. So I thought it was just worth a mention, you know. That's a little of a sleeper flyer vibe, but depending on your injury situation, that's kind of a fun gamble, you know.
I think it's cool, you know, Rodgers, especially for us in the brick house where we score the return yardage differently. He's a good play because Tennessee is a team that actually returns their kickoffs. Okay, yeah. a lot of the teams, it's really like policy, like field the kick, take a knee. Tennessee is a team, they run them out. So whoever their kickoff returner is a playable guy usually.
Sure. Yeah, and so for our league, I mean, I know not every league does this, but for our league, it is kind of cool. You get a little bit of that punt return yards, kickoff yards for those players. So that's why I think I looked at him, you know, as favorably as I did. So
yeah, it's probably why they had him projected the highest as well. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just looked it up real quick here. I mean, his career high, right, 2018 with the Colts, he caught 53 passes.
Okay, but who was that's a little game and team scripted though, right? Like who was the lead receiver? Were they all of the receivers also injured that week, or you know, or for weeks that season? I think he's been kind of more of a backup supporting cast member, if you will. But this week, I feel like he's got a chance to do a little bit more than that. That's all.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think 53 passes is probably right in line with Josh Reynolds' career high receptions as well.
Right, right. They're both in the same category. And Reynolds is a big dude, so he may get a little bit more of the end zone stuff. But because he's not doing punt and kickoffs, I feel like they could both have a decent fantasy usable game.
Yeah.
But it's a gamble. It is a gamble. So not saying run out and pick up Chester Rogers the same way we were last week about Madison. Alexander Madison and the Cook thing, we were kind of going back and forth about.
If
Cook is upright, you know, you got to play him. But the better option would be go Madison because you know what? Look at that. We had people running out, listening to our show, and picking up Madison while we were discussing it and playing him. And I'm sure thinking later, wow, that Brickhouse Fantasy Radio really helped me gain some points. So
I hope so.
Kind of fun, man. I have the official list in front of me, but we've been hitting okay on our gambles so far. So definitely having fun doing that.
Yeah, I like helping the people out.
Listen to a cool podcast. It's from a little bit ago called Mixed Reactions. Some guys up in Maine, and they're just like the hardcore Pats fans. It was funny listening to being from Florida and not really loving the Patriots the same way. It was fun listening to those guys go back and forth. So. It was a good show. A little shout out to the Mixed Reaction boys up there in Maine. Listen, is there anything right now about the Rams that you're interested in? I know the Darrell Henderson, he's questionable with the ribs, but they're saying he's going to play. I know you kind of have to if you have him. Probably starting them. Do you feel any reason why? I mean, I know we'll hit the official note here in a few minutes, but would you be concerned starting him if you had him? I mean, he's kind of on the top tier of what you're going to be playing for RB2 or flex option. Not a lot of good backup opportunities in LA to kind of replace him with, but
yeah, no,
is that something would you start him even with that questionable vibe going on right now?
Probably. I mean, depending on who else I had in the team, but I don't see why not. I mean, if he's playing, he's playing, man. If he's not playing, then no. But, you know, I would have to have some pretty good players to bench him.
Okay. I mean, I don't like the if he's playing, he's playing, because, I mean, there's a lot of guys that's what we were just talking about, Cook. Like, he's probably going to play. Like, yeah, you're going to play him, but it's a little bit safer to go with the backup because that amount of questionable, the rib injury, kind of feel like either stay away from the Rams' backfield or play him. But I don't know. It was concerning to see that it looked like he wasn't going to be playing, and now they're just kind of giving that Well, you know, likely to play.
that always concerns me. You know, when
they
type it out, it puts out that tone. You know.
Well, I understand. I mean, he's just been such a high scorer. I'm thinking, how could I not play this guy?
Sure. The points have been there. You're a Lamar Jackson owner.
Yeah.
The questionable designator this week was for the back.
Right.
They're still saying he's playing. Obviously, you're playing him. What kind of points do you think that it'll affect? He's going up against Denver, too. And Denver's defense has been fairly nice. So, I mean, I think they're at the top. I think they're first against the quarterback. So, the injury there, we're not going to discuss whether to play him or not. What about points expectation? I think they got him projected 20 points even, which is crazy.
I actually haven't spent much time thinking. I rostered him in two leagues, been on my bench since last Sunday for this week just because of Denver before the back injury stuff came out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Benching Lamar.
I mean, quality backups. I get to play Jalen Hurts and Matt Stafford.
Sure. Okay. That is a very fair trade-off there.
Yeah. Like, I don't like the Denver stuff. I mean, I don't know what to think of this back injury thing. If it was a golden matchup, I would play Lamar. I wouldn't worry about a back injury. I would say, you know what? If he's playing, he's playing. That's kind of how I run my teams. Like, if the franchise puts a guy on the field and he's a starter on my team, I play him.
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
I was just more thinking about, you know, the expectations. Sometimes you put in a guy and you're like, yeah,
yeah,
I hope he does 40 points
this week.
And he's one of those players that can do that for you. So to say, hey, nah, I'm more expecting, if I can get 18 to 22 out of them, then I know where else, you know, on the roster that you can try to fight for points or gamble for the higher ceiling kind of player.
You might
have a good player and not maybe think that the ceiling's a little lower than the gamble type of player or somebody that's going to score some different points. And that might be one of those where I have to start Lamar, but I'm going to gamble with this guy to see if I can make up the difference. It's just something I look at every once in a while you're dealing with a star player like Jackson, somebody that you really don't want to bench. You happen to have, a remedy for the situation, but not everybody does every week, you know.
I wouldn't expect the 40 out of them. If fantasy manager wants to start them, they're going to have to chase points somewhere else in their roster this week.
All right, fair enough. Anybody right now on your roster specifically that you feel like might really pop? Other than everyone?
I think the Antonio Brown stuff is exciting, right? Brady's going to go play up there tonight.
Yes, with Brown off COVID list.
Yeah, I think that's exciting.
Okay. So what do you think? What do you think you rock out of this guy this week? Because Pat's defense has been hit or miss. They are on the top side. I want to say they're probably, like, fantasy-wise, they're ranked in the top 12. They may be like 12 or 13 or something like that.
Yeah, they're similar to Denver when we were talking about Denver against quarterbacks. They have a high ranking of points allowed to receivers, but the teams that they faced have been not really noteworthy.
Sure, that also plays a big factor into that.
So they certainly haven't faced Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Antonio Brown, right?
Yes.
One of those guys can pop tonight, maybe two. Also, Gronkowski's out, so this leaves potential for more touchdowns for the wide receivers.
I don't believe they put him on IR, right? I know I know that he was listed as out, but with the ribs, I don't think they put him on IR. I think they're just hoping to get a week or two. But yeah, that's going to play a factor. Like, no Gronk means automatic Brown to me.
That's
like a new safety valve, if you will.
What it means more touchdown opportunities for all the receivers as well. Like Gronkowski appears to be the favorite red zone target.
Right, at least early in the game, because multiple games in a row, first half he's the go to.
Yeah.
In the red zone for sure.
So. I think it really touchdown opportunity is what opens up for the wide receivers, Gronkowski being out.
Okay. I had another one. Going through some notes here. Let me ask you this. I was actually looking at the injury report for the week earlier this week. Chase Claypool, another hammy, out. Was anybody starting him? I mean, if you had him on your roster, were you starting him? He's been – I have him. I have some shares of him. And he's been on the fence, like, do I play him, do I not, like, right on that cusp. Is that name even worth a mention for a start to you?
I think he's been giving you playable numbers.
He has. It's on the low end of the averages, the low end of the consistency that, you know, I like. You know, you can get that 8 to 11 points. I mean, kind of depends.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan. I think he should be under consideration as a starter. But he's out, you know.
Back at it. Sorry for that delay. A little short technical difficulty there.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Chase Claypool kind of sucks. He's out,
yeah,
but just a flex.
He's playable. Yeah. I don't think him being out should be devastating to anybody. Like, I would expect people would have multiple players on that particular level on a given roster.
Sure.
Some comparable, like he's not a game changer, but he's giving you usable points. Yeah.
Okay. We are getting close to that 11:30 mark here. I'll give it about another 5-10 minutes, and then we're going to go over games of the week, likes, picks, over-unders. DC is going to absolutely crush it. I have one other player that I wanted to bring up. Maybe on nobody's radar, maybe on somebody's, but has been absolutely killing it so far, Cordarrelle Patterson.
Oh, man.
Kind of a stupid name to bring up, but right now I'm pretty sure he's like third or fourth in the running back situation and has not been really discussed much. He thought he was the backup. I mean, I've got shares of Mike Davis and Cordarrelle Patterson just does not stop scoring points. Do you think he's a must-start?
A blast in the past.
Right. But we were just hoping to play him for punt return yards. We were like, this guy is almost guaranteed, an 80-yard punt return.
It kind of makes you wonder, how is it that he's been a wide receiver for the last 10 years?
Right.
What he's doing right now as a halfback, how has this guy been a wide receiver my whole life? I understand it, but total blast from the past, really wacky thing that's going on right now. But, yeah, you're right, won't stop scoring points.
And playing up against Washington, which has a decent line to slow it down. But, I mean, he's kind of starting to feel like a have to play, at least in the flex spot. And if you're hurting right now, I mean, DeAndre Swift, Cook, Jacobs, Henderson, You know, you drafted McCaffrey, he's out. Melvin Gordon's even kind of hurt. I mean, like, some of these guys, at least towards the top half of the list, there's a lot of little injuries and concerns. I'm having a hard time saying that you shouldn't start him. I really think that he's kind of one of those plays, until he's not, you should probably start putting Patterson in the flex spot. Too many points there, you know, averaging 19 points last week, 6.5. I mean, depending on the format, I mean, it's still, I mean, he's got more points than a lot of the other guys that we've been kind of banking on. Doing a little better than Austin Eckler, Zeke, Zach Moss, Kareem Hunt. I mean, and this is normally Cordero Patterson's at the bottom of the league. You've got to scroll like 5 or 6 times to get to his name on the points. There is no scrolling, my friend. Straight up at the top. So I'm just my two cents of the week, if you will. Patterson's probably a good flex option, especially if your squad has any injury concerns. So,
I agree. Play Patterson. Sounds like a play.
Yeah, you're okay with that?
I mean, all in.
Okay, all right. All I appreciate that. Thank you. Normally in these kind of situations, we usually have a little back and forth, but this one's just a straight up do it.
No, I mean, because it's a simple play. I mean, he's in top 5 points per game. You want to play this guy, yeah, play him. Especially, like you said, there's so many guys that we thought were real names, and they're not doing close to what he's doing, so... And you can't dispute this. I mean, there's no downside. Play them. It's weird, but
it is weird. It feels awkward.
it is. But what are you gonna do?
Yeah. play them and get the points. That's what I'm gonna do.
That's my recommendation. Yeah.
Yeah. We got that deep league, and I was like, man, this seems like somebody that should probably be at least rostered. And at this point, if you're not comfortable enough, if you know him and his history, if you're not comfortable enough to play him, pick him up so that nobody else can play him against you at this point. If he's available in your league, pick him up, and then just don't play him if you're not comfortable enough taking the gamble. So my two cents of the week. We've been hitting on a couple of them, and even though it's up against Washington, I think there's still going to be plays, and David's still in it, so I think Patterson is going to end up doing another, I guess he does 13 to 15 points, which is still a very respectable number when you have to piece it together, and you're playing a guy like that. Yeah, I think you're guaranteed the 13 to 15. And if I'm wrong, then we'll go over this again next week.
He's always been a player that subsisted on chunk yardage plays.
Right, but his size, he's starting to use his size now to, like, gain those. Instead of 3 to 4 yards, he's getting 6 to 7, just kind of pounding it through. It was like watching Henry the first year or two, and it felt like he played like he was smaller, and then all of a sudden he realized his size and started bowling through guys, and then those numbers started jumping up big time. I kind of feel like he's like a ultra late bloomer. But
it's a total blast from the past, man.
Usage and position. I mean, coaching. I mean, all that stuff kind of comes into play. So definitely been fun to watch him score points.
I mean, he's been listed as a wide receiver his entire life, mm-hmm. And then like every once in a while they add in halfback. Like
and most of that time Most of that time was special teams type of stuff too, though.
Yeah.
So that's where it gets fun. He's not like a spring chicken that just happened to like move from special teams to the running back room. Like, no, he went from special teams to the kind of receiver, but not really utilized. And now all of a sudden he's, you know, in 3 weeks, he's a top 5 running back.
Yeah.
Pretty weird.
It's wacky.
Yeah.
I don't know. Gotta play him.
Gotta play him. All right. It's on the books. Brickhouse Fantasy Radio says Cordero Patterson. Thank you.
Play him.
And please show up this week. Yep.
Play him.
Yep. And Patterson, if you have, if you want to shout out, is Brickhouse Fantasy Radio on Instagram.
Right. Right.
He's like, what do you mean, wacky? I'm like, yeah, you know what we mean. All right, so we got DC coming up here with the game picks. What do you got? Top five picks
of
the week?
Yeah, it's kind of a funky week, you know, as far as a lot of these things appear to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not as many things jumping out as what I'm used to. You know.
Oh yeah, you normally like those like crazy. Oh my gosh, I know this is gonna happen. Throw
yeah.
the money on it now, games.
Yeah, I don't
you don't
see
you don't
many,
feel
though.
That this week?
Not as much. You know, on Thursday I thought Jacksonville +7 was pretty easy money.
Mm-hmm. And I liked the under. I liked the under on that. And it's
yeah.
funny. The first half I thought I was in the bag, and then second half points started kind of flying up and getting real close. So I got quiet on the couch, but. It ends up hitting on the under.
Yeah. So Carolina Dallas under 51.5.
Okay.
Carolina's been strong, man. And they control tempo. And so I don't know. I don't see Dallas putting up the fireworks show.
Yeah, the Carolina's defense has been better than expected.
Yeah.
But Dallas is still – they're still kind of points finders. I feel like even in some weird situations. I mean, they're not dealing with as many injuries as some of the other teams. So I kind of feel like Dallas still going to put up points, but the way Darnold's been playing, they may be able to – if the defense can make a couple of good stops, Darnold seems like he can kind of – keep up a little bit right now.
Oh, he's been safe and efficient with it at minimum. Like
safe,
not,
yeah. Good
he's
word.
Not throwing a million interceptions. He's giving you good yardage. He's giving you good yards per attempt. You know, I mean, as far as a fantasy starter, he's kind of a streamer, right? He doesn't give
yeah.
you a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah. Fair.
But even this week against Dallas, I mean, they don't have anyone that's a known elite coverage guy. Okay, they don't have any established big-time pass rushers. Like, I would think Darnold is a fair streamer this week. You know, but I do like the under 51.5 on that.
You like the under? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're talking to me. Nobody wants to bet the under. He's got the under on this one. Okay.
I also like Cleveland at Minnesota under 51.5.
51.5. Okay.
Yeah.
Cleveland and Minnesota. Man.
Yeah.
That seems like one of those. I can see why this week you're not like, wow, that's the one. Because I feel like that could, you could easily hit on that, or that could go the other way really fast.
Yeah, you think that could be a fireworks show?
Well, I mean, just like, listen, so let's just say Chubb runs one in, Hunt's got a receiving touchdown, Mayfield could run one in at this point, you know, depending
yeah.
on the run game happening. And then you have your wide receiver options, and we're just talking about the quarterback, and so that could be a couple of touchdowns right there. 21 points on one side of the ball, it can make you nervous a little bit with the over-under. So I can see where you don't have huge huge love for any one game, because that's another one. Yes, I think you're right. I think the under is good.
I like Indianapolis +2.5 at Miami.
All right, tell me why.
Brissett, he's a backup, man. Like, it is what it is. He's a backup. And the thing about this is, he's got one of the lowest yards per attempt zone coverage, right? Like under 5, like ugly, like makes offensive coordinators want to throw up kind of stuff. Under 5 yards per attempt on zone coverage. The Colts run the most zone coverage in the NFL. It's not going to be pretty. As a matter of fact, you can get decent action on the money line, take the Colts to win outright.
Man.
Yeah. Sorry, Miami. I like Washington -1.5 playing in Atlanta.
Okay.
I think they win by more than a field goal pretty easy. And you got Denver +1 at home against Baltimore. I think Denver wins the game, so take Denver +1 to me. Those would be my top five picks of the week. So, to me, Denver's scary. Like, I know it's been the Jets and the Giants and stuff like this, but I think they're good. They got a lot of guys that can cover. They got guys that are wreaking havoc at the line of scrimmage. And that's a disaster. It really is. Like I think Baltimore's going to get blown up today. Like I said, I'm all about benching Lamar Jackson if you got options.
Yeah, Denver's been that sneaky scary because we were nervous about if the offense could really – I know Bridgewater's going to be – consistent and safe, but you know, are the running backs there? Are the options there? Some injuries and stuff like that. Can the offense keep up? But I don't know if the offense really has to as much right now because the defense is taking care of business. So
yeah, precisely. I mean, and Bridgewater is a fine quarterback for the type of a situation. You know, he's not real strong in the touchdown department, but he doesn't throw interceptions and he moved the ball. Like, they're getting first downs with very little run game support as well. Like, their average yards per carry is barely at 4 on the season. So they're getting basically nothing in the run game. And Bridgewater's still out here getting first downs. And that's about all you need when you got a defense like that. So +1 at home, I would take it.
Sure.
Like Baltimore appears to be good, not great. Last year they were a team that really improved over the season. And because they're a team that relies so heavily on the running game, that seems like it'll happen again. And you coming in the offseason, people are feeling fresh. They're ready to stuff the run.
What do they got on? Have you looked it up or do you have it in front of you, the Lions game? Lions Bears?
Yeah, what about it?
What's that? Is that a low? Is that a low over under there?
Yeah, 42.5.
Okay.
41.5. Sorry.
Okay. Watch it.
Yeah, and then you got Bears -3.
Okay.
It's in Chicago.
And Swift with the groin injury. I like to went with they have both guys playing. At least there's some points to be had. I don't know if Williams is gonna carry it up against the Bears. But you like the over or the under on that?
It's so low. I want to tell you I like the under, but it's so low.
Yeah, but you got Field starting. Didn't do great first game. I mean, he's going to be great later, but no guarantees on the early side of that, right?
Yeah, but the Lions have been a backdoor cover team. They come in the last 2 or 3 possessions and give you points, and then all of a sudden, over hits. It's not good. Not good. I'll bet there's been more than one bad beat in a Lions game already this year, 3 weeks. So it's not good. And they're losing games on bank shot field goals. It's ridiculous. Justin Tucker's doing his Kawhi Leonard impression.
The bank. I wonder if he's calling that when he kicks it. You think he calls it and goes, banking it?
Ding, 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 ding. Sink it. Oh. Well, what are we doing? Oh, man.
Right.
I'll tell you
right.
what, those people up there in Detroit, they were rowdy last Sunday. They had about 30 seconds to shout, and they made their time. They were efficient with it. Those got to be the best fans in the league, right?
Yeah.
Right?
If you're a Lions fan, absolutely.
I mean, just like they're so loyal. The team's so bad, and it's like so much of a certainty that they will be bad, and the people just keep showing up with a smile. It's great.
With a smile.
No, I'm serious. not only are they present in the facility, like they're happy to be there. Like, wow, good for them.
Yeah, man. All right, any other games that you're liking?
It's a rough week, man. Like, I'm telling you, nothing. I don't see anything that flashes. You know what? Tampa minus seven. Seven's a big number.
Yeah.
I think we can all very clearly see a scenario where Brady goes in there and really lights it up.
Yeah, I mean, I think even the Pats are expecting a little bit of that.
Yeah. So with that being the case, I mean, Tampa minus seven doesn't look terrible to me.
Okay.
Yeah, even the over on that is appealing. I just don't know if New England can hold up their end of what it's going to take. Like 49.5, like even if Brady lights it up to catch 49.5, New England would have to like put forth some level of competition, right? Otherwise,
yeah.
They're going to shut down late in the game and not make it to 49.5. So, look, the line dropped. Now you got minus 6.5. Even better.
Okay. All right. The 7's a big number. 6.5, on the other hand,
I mean,
much.
It's moving.
I'm just trying to give you crap.
You know?
Yeah.
And
sure.
not in the direction I would have anticipated either.
Okay. All right. So, 49ers, it's funny because a lot of the notable injuries, like I was really hoping to get something about like Tyler Lockett, that
right.
One of the bigger names on the list. All of these guys for this week. On the injury report, it seems like it's the bigger names. It's the 4 o'clock games, and we're not going to get any of that. We got to start doing a show at 3:45 here for some of these 4 o'clock games because we're getting the shift, man, for this week. And that's somebody that I feel like you have to decide now on.
It depends on who's on your team. Like if your replacement players are playing at 4 or 8 or tomorrow, then it's fine. So it looks like Gibson's going to play.
Yes. Yep. Yep. He's in. That was another big one. Because, you know, the backup options there are not exactly guys you're really trying to throw into the slot, you know.
Often.
Because they'd be sitting on your waiver wire, but do you really want to drop somebody that you have to play that?
Yeah, so
that person.
Throw
like,
it at me. Like, who are these people?
Well, you got McKissick, right?
Okay, a little receiver guy. Okay,
and I think that's the closest thing that you can really use. He has had a good game.
Oh, he's given playable numbers at times. Last season. When Gibson was missing games, McKissick was a good guy to use.
But it's one of those where is it worth right now? I think he's got a total of 23 points on the season, averaging 7.8. Last week he did 4.8 points.
Ugh,
he's playing up against Atlanta, so there's a little bit of love there. Gibson is out, but with Gibson in, nope, we're done with that question. You know,
right?
You can't do it.
I think Gibson is another one if he's healthy this week against Atlanta. You know, like I was saying, they're minus 1.5 on the road against Atlanta. I don't see how they win by less than a field goal. They should beat Atlanta.
Okay. Bold predictions here.
Especially
coming from somebody who, I mean, I've rostered Matt Ryan as a backup, and you've been hot on Ridley.
Yeah.
Kind of hoping that eventually something really pops off with those guys. But right now, Washington, they're looking good with Gibson in. That's a good situation.
Yeah, and Ridley's not been bad. Like he's fine. Just Atlanta's a bad team, man. They're a bad team that has one or two good players. But, no, they're gonna lose.
Really.
I struggle to find five picks that I feel comfortable recommending to the people here. And that's really the only one that I actually like.
Okay.
Washington minus 1.5.
Washington, they're a hard team to want to root for because every time you do, they start doing bad.
Yeah.
You know, but if you don't, if you stop rooting for them, then all of a sudden it seems like defense starts showing up and players just start kind of popping off. It's interesting.
They're going to be a second half of the season team.
With the Broncos, really quick, kicking back, that Melvin Gordon questionable with the rib injury. This is interesting to me. It's still, again, it's a 425 game, so we're not getting an out designator quite yet. But Javonte Williams, I mean, is this a week that if you drafted the rookie and you've been stashing him, nervous to play him because of, you know, the shared backfield, is this the week that you're considering if at 4 o'clock? You've got that flex spot with Lockett and you find out he's out. Is this a player that you could possibly throw in going up against Baltimore? 21st
absolutely.
Against the run?
Absolutely. You know what else is? I think we're going to find ourselves having this discussion every week. Like, we know he's going to pop at some point this season. And we're just sitting here saying, is it going to be this week? I don't know, Dave. You think it'll be this week? And that's how it's going to be every week until it happens for 2 weeks in a row. And then everyone's going to love him. So, yeah, why the hell not, man?
Ryan,
like if you need a guy at 4 o'clock and he's sitting there on your bench, throw him in.
That's the answer.
Wholly unimpressive. Like, his yards per carry is garbage. And it's being floated by, a 60-yard run he had in week one.
Right?
Like it's 1% yard run when he even have 100 rushing yards this season? Like, seriously. Like, no. This is, no, he's done. Give me the rookie.
Swift is in. That's another one that I was kind of waiting on to see. They were a little late just popping that one, but he was dealing with a groin injury, and I kind of felt like that was one that was a little bit scary with those two times. But the fact that they yanked him off of the report, Swift is in. So, good for your Lions, huh?
I hope
so. Detroit.
I certainly hope so. Can we go ahead and win a game, please? and Chicago's a prime candidate. I don't see why we can't beat Chicago.
Right. I think that is one of those on the list of, potential good games.
Who are the teams with zero wins right now, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man, right? I'm serious. So, look, is Houston zero wins? They beat somebody. They beat Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville. They're
Atlanta, zero wins, correct?
Right.
They're not beating Washington. Giants, zero wins. They're not winning at New Orleans.
No. Definitely not happening.
Jets, zero wins. Do we think they're beating Tennessee?
Oof. No.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so then can we say that the Lions are the team with zero wins that's most likely for a breakthrough this weekend?
I think I'm comfortable with that. Yes.
Yeah?
Cool. We put that up on somebody's board.
Detroit, what up, though?
Detroit, all about that D.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'll take it easy. Hey, we need some callers, man. Call in 515-605-9898. Where are these brick house guys at, man? You know they have questions. You know they're dying to ask us, who should I start?
No, yeah. They all think they're a bunch of freaking geniuses, man. They know
everything.
No,
that's what they try to put out. But they're secretly just sitting by the phone going, should I call or should I not? And don't worry, guys. You can. We won't judge you. Even if you're playing up against us, don't worry. We'll still get to help you out. All about this Brick House Fantasy Radio, man.
They know it all. They know it all.
They know it all.
Their foresight knows no bounds. They're freaking convalescent out here. They don't need it.
Hey, here's another one really quick. Jonathan Taylor, they just pulled him off the injury list. They took away his questionable designator.
Play him.
That was another big name. Got to play him.
Play him.
Got to play him.
Right? We don't draft guys in the first round and then bench him in week four. Like what are we doing, right? Let's draft with our eyes closed next year. And really.
Yeah, trying not to.
Yeah, give me a blindfold and a dartboard. Come on.
Well, you got the dartboard. Now all you need is the blindfold.
You know, I might have one of those too.
Uh-oh.
I pull it out of the special drawer.
Trying to just pull up the last one. I had several names on the list, but it seems like a bunch of guys are playing, and then the other half of our injury list has been 4 o'clock games. So.
Yeah, I mean, the 4 o'clock stuff is always, you know, it's a shame you can't get the info right now. I mean, you got any, like, stuff you're thinking? I know on one of my teams I'm looking at it, and I'm trying to find a path to sticking Antonio Brown in this lineup somewhere, and I can't figure out how to do it.
All right, so what are your options? Who are you even possibly considering to pull out to throw in Brown?
I could pull Gibson for his shin injury. I could pull Chase Edmonds. I could pull Kareem Hunt.
Chase Edmonds. That's interesting.
He's been giving me points, though.
Yeah, but, like, to what end here? I mean, Chase Edmonds, what do we got? Averaging 11.2 points.
Yeah.
Total of 33 points. And he did 11. Okay, so, I mean, that's basically he's guaranteeing you 11 per week. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Kind of what you're looking for. So,
yeah.
But this is the pop. Like, okay, so are you saying that Antonio Brown, because this is what we're talking about, is Antonio Brown a good fit to replace him? You think Antonio Brown does less than 11 points?
I mean, it's going to be 3 or 30.
Right, and that's where,
man. That's how it's going to be with him this year, and it's tough. Like, I have a feeling that this is a week where I should be playing him, but I don't know if a feeling is enough to pull out any of the three guys I just mentioned.
Hmm.
And then over in a different league, you know, I'm interested in playing Kareem Hunt. But I don't know who to pull.
Hunt. What's Hunt's average been? He's been a little bit hit or miss, right?
Two good games, one bad game.
Okay. Yeah, that's another one that's like we discussed the matchup there, the over-under a little bit. I still find it hard to talk shit about or talk any crap about Hunt or Chubb, you know, when they're both upright, it's very difficult to try to give them any grief. But really quick, we're gonna take a call.
Nice.
and see what we got going on here.
What do we got?
Brickhouse Fantasy Radio. Happy Sunday. What's going on?
What's up, folks?
What's going on? What's going on? What do you got for us today?
My guys, how y'all doing?
Doing great, man. Just having some good fantasy football conversations. You know, we're going through our garbage. Basically, we're just talking it out to try to figure out how to set our lineup.
Yeah, bouncing our ideas with one another. Yeah. What do you think? You got any lineup?
Yeah, I do. Tight end, Jared Cook or Gesicki?
Cook.
Oof. I can't answer it that fast. How did you answer that so fast? Why? What was it about that that you answered that so quick? Gesicki hasn't had any like massive games, but sometimes
I mean,
matchups for him.
Last week he dropped 13, and I left him on the
bench. 13.6. But he's average. So that's a total of he did 13.6, and he's got a total of 19.2 points. So that was just in 1 week he did 13. You know, I mean, that means six points the other two games. So that's the heater.
Yeah, my whole thing is this: it's like, has he built a rapport with Brissett? You think this is that 13.6, which is last week, or you think he's gonna be Brissett's one of his favorite targets this week type thing? And I know the Chargers offense, they're high powered, and even with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, I still believe Jared Cook can put some numbers like the week they played Dallas, you know what I'm saying? They scored, but they called back to legal penalty and stuff. So yeah.
I do like the Gesicki point that you made is it necessarily that we're actually betting on Cook or Gesicki, or are we betting on quarterback needing that position? You know, need Gesicki a little bit. I think that's where I would catch the favor for Gesicki is with the Brissett situation. Cook being with the Chargers, I mean, there's a lot of receiving weapons, and yes, can he hit on it? And even just a red zone target. Sure. All he really needs is three catches for 14 yards and a touchdown, you know, and he was worth a play in the tight end position since it's mandatory in the league. But the Gesicki is probably got the – it's like the lower floor, higher ceiling. You're not – are you chasing any points here? I mean, you're not dealing with any major injuries, right?
No. But tight end position.
So you
got to
throw that tight end slot.
Yeah, it's that hit or miss type. And then, like, you know, like, because I could have used Gesicki 13 last week. You know, I lost by, like, I think 9 points. So, you know, that put a sour taste in my mouth a little bit. You know,
I'm just going to say, just for the tracking here, I'm going to say if DC is going with Cook, I'm going to go with Gesicki this week. This isn't helping you, but I really think that just because we're not agreeing, I think that Gesicki will outscore Cook for this week. It's going up against Indy, which is a little bit tougher of a defense, but I think the amount of targets that the Chargers have is going to limit Cook. As soon as, like, next week or in the future, if we're dealing with any single pass-catching personnel for the Chargers is injured or questionable, I think Cook slides immediately back into the lineup.
He has a strained hamstring. Is he playing or is he still up in the air?
Yeah, he's supposed to play.
They're showing him he's playing.
Okay, so who you think would receive more targets? I think Gesicki would.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, I think Gesicki. Target share. Yeah. It's tough because I'm in a similar boat. Like I'm having a hard time with some of the tight end options. I've been trying to like move and look at kind of the waiver situation, it's been rough because, you know, I was trying to gamble on Troutman from New Orleans. I really thought, like, maybe he was going to slide in, and then all of a sudden, he's just not the guy. That's not who Winston ends up linking up with, and it's really tough to fill that slot. So I get it, man. But I think the target share is going to be in favor of Gesicki this week.
Okay. All right. Also,
I don't see it with Brissett. I'm looking at Brissett like, oh, you're deficient. You're backed up. Get out of here.
I mean, I think you're being a little harsh on him. You know,
okay.
Like, that's just my opinion. I think you're being a little harsh on him. I hear what you're saying, but, you know what I'm saying, like we spoke before, he was not bad when he was a full start at Indy before they brought him to the Rivers, and he kind of did his thing. So, you know, but yeah. But also another question. Odell Beckham or Deebo Samuels?
Deebo.
Damn. Okay. Deebo it is.
We'll debate sometimes, but sometimes not so much.
Yeah, no, that's a simple one. Deebo. Don't overthink it. Just play, yeah, it's like Debo's been scoring.
The only way we're wrong is if Deebo gets he leaves the game with an injury. And that's the possibility. But
okay,
you can't gamble that when we're talking about this hero player.
Hey, but who else might leave the game with an injury?
Yeah,
right.
Back.
Like that's a level playing field right there. Like, come on.
Yeah, I think the Debo's got the higher upside.
I want this guy unless he gets hurt, and I prefer him over the other guy that also might get hurt. Like, yeah. Come on.
I mean, well, you know, Landry's still out, and I think, you know, Beckham, he still needs his coming out party for this year, and I think it might happen, especially you just going against Minnesota. You know, and granted, Debo is going against Seattle, so, you know,
Minnesota.
A little better,
I was told to say
much.
The Vikings suck. Just really quick, even though
Seattle,
I fully believe it, but we'll just say it out loud.
Seattle has been bleeding yards.
Yes.
Bleeding
yes.
yards. Like,
23rd against the receiver.
Yeah. And they're not much better against the running back either. So, yeah, man. Play Debo.
Okay.
Yeah, Debo's the play on that one. Wait,
yeah.
So, or Odell, so against Minnesota, yes, that is a good matchup. But what happens if, I mean, is there any other, was that flex play right there for the Debo?
Well, yeah,
or?
It's a, I mean, receiver tight end position because I got Caffrey out and they just announced that Julio's not playing. So, my options is either Debo or Odell, pretty much, or Michael Pittman Jr.
And that's up against Miami. Wentz is in.
I don't like Pittman against Miami.
I don't know if I do either. I really don't. I was thinking about it, but I don't see it.
And Miles Sanders.
Yeah, but he's trying to fill a wide receiver tight end slot. He's not trying to pull Swift.
Yeah.
That's his option right now. That's where I was going with it, is what position are you trying to fill? Because if you have somebody else, Miles Sanders is a great play this week against Kansas City. They're 30th against the run. I don't see why he shouldn't be in. I think Sanders should be in over Swift just because of the groin injury. But
sounds right.
Well, Miles Sanders, even though he gets more snaps, but Gainwell, he gets snaps as well. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like he's going to be a bell cow type like Swift is. Swift is going to be more so workhorse type. Even, you know what I'm saying, like, I understand a groin injury, Even though Jamal Williams is playing solid for him, but they said, you know, what he's going to do, that he's going to get a little more workload. So that's why I got Swift in, regardless of the injury and stuff.
So you're a guy that is rostering Miles Sanders in multiple leagues. You scared of Gainwell?
I mean, with the Dallas game, you know, we're going to have to chalk it up to they were trash all game, so they kind of
The Dallas game, listen, every team gets one or two games a year where you should throw that away and fuck that.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm gonna stick with Swift. I just, it's that wide receiver tight end position that I feel like need to be filled. But, yeah, I think I'm going to go with you guys, going with Debo. And, so that's lined up pretty set. And, but back to your question, I'm a little worried with Gainwell. He's getting snaps. And also he's like, when it comes to passing, he's their passing back. He's their receiving back. You know what I'm saying?
With the opportunities he receives.
Yeah, with the opportunities he's been given, he's been making the most of them. So I'm a little worried, but you know, I'm gonna stick with Miles with that. But I'm a little worried. It's something to look at as the season goes on. We'll see what they do.
As the season goes on, because Miles Sanders is going to hit. He is going to hit, and I think it's going to put Gainwell back into his kind of spot as the change of pace. It hasn't happened yet, but that's Philly. They're kind of a – I'm going to just say they're a new team with Hurts in there and trying to figure out letting Hurts eat – or just take off with it, and him running the ball quite a bit right now has been taken away from Sanders. But there's going to have to be a little bit of a give and take at that point. If Hurts wants to stay effective running, they're going to have to use somebody else. And the Gainwell is a little bit more on the pass side. Sanders can still catch the ball, but
yeah, he can.
He's going to he needs the right matchup, I think, for them to catch that rhythm, and then I think he will be utilized more later in the season. You know, it's kind of discouraging because I've had Sanders in the past, and it seems like it takes him a little bit to get rolling. But when he does, it's worth the pick. So I'm just throwing it out there. Swift at the moment, overall points, he's done better. But I think we can't write off Sanders quite yet because Hurts is trying to find his kind of spot and slot in that team. And in the offense.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think we all want
to. Yeah, and Dallas throws it all off too, right? So that's another one. Like, you can't count that just because it was a weird situation. But I don't know. I like it. I appreciate the questions here because you're definitely going to win on the Samuel over Odell. We're calling it. Brookhouse Fantasy Radio is calling it Deebo Samuel. Is going to do better than Odell Beckham Jr.
this week
in fantasy football.
I have a good amount of confidence and comfortability with that.
Okay. Now, a couple other questions. How do y'all feel about Fournette? I mean, I know, he's been okay, you know, but this matchup with New England, you know, Tom Brady's going to try to do some things. How do you feel like, how do you guys feel like Fournette fitting in that as far as this week with Gronk out? You know what I'm saying? I know they have plenty of weapons. I believe Antonio Brown.
He's off the COVID list. Yep.
Yeah, he's off the COVID list. So, yeah, but, you know, I'm pretty sure Tom Brady's going to want to stick it to Belichick this week. So you think Fournette would be involved in that? Or
I would see why not. I think Fournette goes in the same idea as when we were talking earlier about all the wide receivers. When Gronk is out, everyone's opportunity to score a touchdown goes up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that Fournette, he's been consistent. Like, not huge numbers, but has been consistent. And that's something that I'm a big fan of, because at this point, if you're kind of stuck in the – maybe you're in that Darrell Henderson injury group, like that kind of stuff, you could be looking for somebody to kind of stream for the week. And like you said, I think they're really looking to stick it to the Pats.
Yeah.
Sorry to all you boys up in Maine listening right now.
Yeah, but that's
but
like
I do think
beat upon things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not huge numbers, but still semi-serviceable stuff. I mean, 8, 9, and then 4. It was a rough game against the Rams with just 4 attempts. But when he's looking at anywhere from 9 to 15 attempts, I mean, he's gonna get you your 10 points. And that's the kind of player you're trying to fill.
I agree with that. I mean, I don't think he's done anything to say, like, okay, this is a starting running back. Like, he's still a player that you're not really looking at until you're in trouble. And then you're like, okay, I'm in trouble. What should I do here? And then in that case, I think Fournette is a tremendous option to have. I mean, and it's so true, man. Like, I don't recall something being this unanimous as everyone really believing Tampa is going to try to hang 50 on them. I mean, I think the over-under is 49 and Tampa plans on covering that alone.
and there's mouths to feed, but they could eat, right?
The last time something was this unanimous was like the rebel army saying, fuck the British, right? Like,
history fact of the week.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It's unanimous. Everyone thinks this. So maybe we're all wrong. But, yeah, just play your Tampa guys this week if you're in trouble.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's not necessarily a must play. It's just one of those where when you're eyeballing players. Like some leagues, Fournette may not be rostered. He may not be he may be on somebody's bench. Maybe he's – like, if you don't have to give up too much, he's an option to trade for. And not for that starting role, but that backup thing, because there's going to be a lot of different matchups this season where these guys each rotate getting huge points. You know, one week we got Godwin and Fournette having a good week. One week you got Evans and Brown having a big week. I mean, that is very much a possible thing. And so which week does he hit? And when you start at least playing or considering those guys, it becomes beneficial. It's not unreasonable. He's going to get goal line work, especially with Gronk out. Short yardage, Fournette is going to be a beast.
Sanders or Fournette?
Sanders.
Now, final question. Dak Prescott or Kirk Cousins?
I mean, this is supposed to be a really fast answer. You know, it's supposed to be. But I know why you're asking it, though.
Yeah.
Carolina's defense has been good. And then Kirk Cousins is playing against Cleveland.
And he's been giving you the points.
He has. Even in his bad weeks, he's been even getting it late in the game.
I think if I'm not mistaken, Kirk Cousins leads the league in completion percentage.
He's usually up there in that. And this year, he's scoring touchdowns. He's got 8 touchdowns and no interceptions so far.
Yeah, he's put up a total of 78 points. He's averaging 26.
He's pushing 1,000 yards already.
Yeah.
He's sneakily probably top 5 QB right now.
He's ranked fourth.
He's ranked fourth.
Yeah.
And Dak's at 15 for position ranking.
And there's nothing to be excited about a guy playing Carolina.
True.
It's true, but the weapons.
Ugh. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And also, they're starting to get the running game going. You know what I'm saying? The Elliott Pollard tandem is pretty beast.
It's working. It's working for them this year.
Yeah, it's they're pretty beast, you know what I'm saying? So they're leaning heavily towards the run again, you know what I'm saying? But Carolina lost their top corner, their rookie J.C. Horn.
Okay.
I love the question because
if you look at the projections, Dak's at 20.
Yeah,
19.9. That makes it very fun when you're trying to fucking set up a lineup. Really nice. Really nice.
Yeah.
Thanks for that, ESPN.
Yeah. I think Cousins is a pretty good.
So,
I think I would play Cousins.
Opponent ranking is 18th. I'm just trying to make sure we got all the numbers here. Last week did 27.2. Dak had a rough week last week, but it was kind of rough.
It was just that they were just dominating.
It wasn't needed. They were so far ahead.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't needed.
And then his touchdown came late in regards to fantasy points.
Yeah, and that
touchdown came late. You know what I'm saying?
Those
22 came late because the whole game he was hovering around 10 points, literally the whole game.
10 to 12.
Yeah, and then towards the end is when he kind of turned up and went to 22, jumped 22.
Yeah.
It
was rough for him against L.A. Chargers. Really his only standout game this week one against him.
Yeah.
But what about the Chargers game?
It was filled with laundry on the floor, filled with flags. Like it was a lot of them were called back on both sides.
Floor.
Yeah, it was.
But Dallas is a team that's always near the leaders of most penalty yardage. I would understand maybe a team that's pretty clean with it, like the Chiefs. Right? If that team had a big penalty week and you want to write it off as, oh, man, that was the week of laundry. Okay. But not for Dallas. When Dallas has a high penalty week, you're kind of looking at them like, okay, well, that's who they are. If it happens again next week, I won't be surprised.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I almost think the Cousins play would be smart.
I would put Cousins.
So with another agreement here.
Yeah, not as fast as the Debo Samuels, but I think we
No, we needed to unpack that one a little bit.
We did, but we've arrived at the same destination. I would play Cousins.
Okay.
And what's nice is there's options on both teams. If Cook's going to be out, Madison's been performing as a perfect backup. You still have Jefferson and Thielen. The same way you got the Cooper and Lamb matchup. So you still have usable players if you're still trying to stack and stuff like that. But I do think that Cousins is the better player this week. So Brickhouse Fantasy Radio says Kirk Cousins is going to do better than Dak Prescott in week four.
We got Samuel over Beckham. And then it's going to be fun for us to see what happens between Gesicki and Cook. Which I think Champ might be onto something. I think maybe I'm jumping too fast on Brissett. For me, I'm like when I was drafting, which I need to stop using this as my template because this is a month old. But the excitement for Gesicki was very strongly related to believing that him and the starting quarterback had already developed some type of teamwork or favoritism.
Exactly.
So, now that that's done, the things that I thought I had to be looking forward to with Gesicki are no longer there. Now I'm looking at Cook like, bro, this guy is a big, strong, fast dude. And he's playing with a quarterback that, if he averages 300 yards a game on the season, no one's going to be shocked. So, Like the other receiving targets.
That's true. That's
the
true.
Other receiving targets in the team don't scare me. You know, I'd like that doesn't make me think anything less of Cook. And Gesicki,
yeah,
like, okay,
likewise.
Okay, he got his 13 points last week from Brissett. Good. You know, but I just don't have a lot of confidence that it'll happen again. And I really don't like the Colts matchup for Miami.
But does it have to happen? It doesn't have to always happen again. Like, if he scores 8 points, right, and Gesicki scores 10, or the other way around, whatever. Those 2 points, when it comes to a close matchup, those kind of matter to you, you know?
They
and you're
matter.
Not losing by a whole lot. It really kind of clips you. Like, dude, you lose by 1.8 points, and you realize that your other tight end scored 2 points more than the other one. I mean, he doesn't have to do 13.6 for it to be effective for him. That's all. I think that right now, if Gesicki ends up with 7 points and Cook ends up with 5.5, right? Like, just because it's a weird week, and that's what happens. I mean, tight ends, unless you're in the top tier of tight ends, those are the numbers you're looking for. You know, I've won with Kyle Rudolph scoring me 3.4 points, right? But my other guy, you know, ended up with 1.2 points. So,
right, and then
you know,
also Kyle Rudolph scored 3 touchdowns in the championship. Like, yeah, got it.
It's a random, yeah, but come on, that doesn't get you to the championship. We're not quite there yet. Yes, the draft is a month old, but the championship is a couple months away. He's trying to get a win.
You made it to the championship round off the 3.2 points. Now, if you had gotten the 3.2
points, not every week. Yeah.
If you had gotten the 3.2 and not the 25, you wouldn't have won the championship. Demetrius would have beat you.
Facts, my friend.
Yeah,
facts.
Like that big game, even though it was just a one-off crazy thing that happened, was totally needed. Like,
okay, so wait, I have a question for the champ, okay? Out of the two players, if you had to pick one to ride or die, just leave him in and basically just fill in the bye week and just leave him in, your gut, who would it be?
That's a good question. Yeah, okay. Likewise.
Probably Cook because it's, like I said, it's a high-powered offense, and even with, just like DC said, even with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen balling, and even with Eckler, you know what I'm saying, getting some work in the passing game. It's Cook is big, strong, and one of the fastest tight ends still. Like he can break away, you know. So yeah, I would go Cook and Miami is still, you know, like we still don't know what to think about Miami right now. Tua went down. Receivers aren't playing up to par right now, even though he's got, you know, minus Waddle, the rookie. Rookie's been getting some work, even though he's still doing rookie mistakes. But nonetheless, he's still getting some work, and it's in shambles. Like, there can be games where Gesicki doesn't catch any, and they still might win. You know what I'm saying?
Miami's offensive line play has been very inconsistent over the 3 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a story for some years now about that offense.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, we thought maybe they were on the right track last season. Like, they looked better. But that might have been a fake out.
So the reason I asked the question, though, is because this is what it comes down to. You know, you got your roster. You got guys that you're banking on for the major points, right? You have Dak Prescott, Alvin Kamara, you know, the Sanders, Diggs, Williams, Cooper. I mean, you've got guys that are gonna score points. You know?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, in some leagues, it's mandatory to have a tight end fill that slot. And yes, 2 points could make the difference, but it may not. Right? If you lose by 19 and you've played the wrong tight end by 2 points, like who really cares? You know, it was just not in the cards for you that week. So we can talk about a play for a specific week, pretending like we're doing DFS here, but we're not. We're doing the long haul. So I can say that this week, if you're asking out of the two, I would say Gesicki has a little bit of an upside
overcooked for the week to me. But, dude, this is the long haul, and they've even extended the NFL another week. So leaving Cook in, not even this week. Let's say you play Gesicki, great, cool. Hope we're not involved in, you know, a couple of points, because I don't think it's going to be a huge point spread. But you answered that your ride or die was Cook. I like it, because going forward, you got to stop thinking about it as much. Like, you can look at the matchup if it says first and 32nd, right, when you're talking about the plays. Yeah. Then, yeah, sure, make a move. But if not, pick your guy and leave him in there, because there's going to be a game that Keenan Allen leaves in the third quarter. He's not hurt for the season or anything, but he's just, they're going to pull him. Mm-hmm. And then Mike Williams has a nice game. But then, you know what, Cook also has three red zone targets. Let's say he only brings in one or two, but, like, there's going to be games that Cook is going to blow up. I can say that confidently. And it's trying to figure out which week that's going to happen. And sometimes it's hard to do.
The whole strategy of it sounds right to me. That's how I'm playing Logan Thomas and Dallas Goedert. Like, I'm just going to play Thomas unless there's a really interesting matchup situation going on or a bye week. And then if that comes up, I got no problem playing Goddard.
Right, right. And that's how I think that the champ should approach this situation, is like, all right, so you gotta he had a good week with Brissett. He's kinda hoping to get some points there. Ride it. And you know what? If Gesicki has a great week this week and not like the worst matchup next week, leave him in there. Don't move it.
Yeah.
You know, and then all of a sudden he has a bad week and Cook starts kind of popping off, like, then put him in and then leave him and let it ride. Because sometimes switching the guys every week really, really can screw your overall total points.
Yeah.
That's what's going to change your tiebreakers. That's what's going to matter later in the season when everybody's 7-6.
Yes.
Is that, and so you're hoping that one of these guys who are averaging, let's say, 4 points a game, ends up having those big games, and that's what kind of tips you later on in the season. So I know we've been going off about two tight ends that aren't going to, you know, aren't going to be scoring 40 points a week, but you can't overanalyze it either. There are sometimes you got to let the guy sit in there and play. So I think this week a Gesicki is a good run, hoping that the Brissett thing, you're a Miami fan, go with it. And if he ends up with the 2 points and Cook ends up with 8, then you know what? You already said your ride or die was Cook. Maybe put him in and just let it sit, you know, and not overthink it too much.
I think that's a good strategy.
Does it matter to you guys that Cook is playing Monday night?
That always is a big deal. Especially because you don't have options, you know, if you want to play him and then all of a sudden you notice something's going on or there's some sort of weird, he slips on a sock at the top of the stairs like Jamal Williams did years ago and he's now out. Yeah, you're screwed. You're done.
There's not going to be an extra guy that you can add for an emergency. Like, they're playing Las Vegas. You certainly can't get their tight end on waivers. Right.
Right.
are we aware? Like, who else plays tight end on the Chargers? Do you guys know? I don't know.
No. I mean, I can find that out. I can find that out real quick.
Find out, but the fact that we have to check to know kind of tells us, like, okay.
Yeah, that's.
But,
is that player going to be available all the time? You know, on the waivers or something like that. Do you have the guy to drop, when it comes to Monday nights, you don't have a guy to drop. Donald Parham, Steven Anderson, or Trey McKitty? No, they're not.
If you were going to do it, you'd have to do it now, like while your players are still dropping.
Right, right. And that's intimidating because you stack these guys. You stack these guys, man. It's a commitment. I think especially you're dealing with a 1 o'clock game versus a Monday night game. You know, it's funny you asked, does it matter if it's Monday night? And it's funny, I think it matters more if it's Thursday night because the we discussed, DC and I discussed this before. It's like for the beginning of the season, it seems like there's awesome Thursday night games. And then for like a majority of the rest of the season, it's a bunch of like 13 to 3s, you know, 21 to 14 game, like lower scoring games. Monday night is a bigger night, but with the weapons on hand, with Mike Williams, I think Mike Williams, we've been bringing him up.
Oh my God.
I think he's just going to be a freaking monster, man. So I think playing Gesicki this week is good. I would not judge you if you put Cook in and let it ride out other than a bye week though either, because he's going to hit as well.
The Monday thing is a real question because, like, if you want to have that protection, you got to do it now. That's the play, right? Find one of your droppable guys. Get some emergency Monday person and hold it down for just in case. Like right now, I got my ass is flapping in the air because I got Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen starting with no other Monday players on my roster, and I know that I have to play both of those guys. So if one of them, you know, does the sock slipping like you mentioned.
Yeah. It is. It's a little scary with the Mondays being the last game, and then especially for the champ here, you know, when with the position being light.
Oh
I mean,
God.
You could
yeah,
you
tight,
could
tight end takes it to a whole other level.
You could decide like to throw in another receiver or something if you were having an issue with like an Allen. I mean, you're not going to really want to play Jalen Guyton, but.
No.
If Allen's done, I mean, he could end up getting you like six to like I think he's averaging like 3.5 points or something. He might get you six or seven.
If I was gonna go for Monday night protection, it would be Bryan Edwards.
Okay.
Like I just don't have anyone on my team that's really that droppable to do that right now. But. If I was going to drop, like, let's say my most droppable guy is probably Josh Gordon. So what I would do is drop him for Edwards for the just-in-case on Monday, and then at least I have a guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, this week you're not going to do that. But in coming weeks, that's definitely something you have to consider, for sure.
I'm trying to describe for the audience, like, this is how you deal with Monday night problems, like, get you an emergency Monday guy.
Which, yeah, especially when you're doubting. Yeah, when you're doubting.
In chance case, he could do that. Like, why is DJ Dallas on your team, Kelby?
Facts.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, like if
that's just somebody you have. Somebody
yeah,
you have
far,
to
if,
give
if
you that safety
Monday
net.
Like protection, like, you could drop DJ Dallas for your extra Monday guy, and it wouldn't hurt anything. The problem is there is no Monday night protection available for Jared Cook.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Doesn't exist.
All right. Bye. So, listen, man, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. Those are good questions because, honestly, there's a few of those that I think we have similar players in separate leagues that we've been kind of trying to decide on. Especially, I know I've been hurting in the tight end position too. So, great question. Thank you so much for calling in, brother. I appreciate you once again. The champ is with us here, Brickhouse Fantasy Radio. I hope that we can expect you next week, man.
How's the belt fitting? I heard you've been gaining weight.
Yeah, man, it feels snug fit. You know, it's
he's wearing it over
fit,
the over the
you
neck
know,
and shoulder.
I can put on an extra 20 pounds and still have a snug fit, you know? So,
okay.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, we got
nice.
The adjustable waistband for this reason.
Yeah, you know, needs a little polishing, you know what I'm saying? But, hey, you know.
If you win it again, I will polish it up. I'm not going to lie. I will take care of it for you.
Remember you said it.
Leather
treatment center?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right, boys. Appreciate your time, gentlemen. Have a good one.
Hey, good luck this week, man. I hope the lineup movements work in your favor. Good luck, and hopefully we can hear back on whether or not we got you the W or we cost you the season.
Oh yeah, you'll
man, have a great one.
Me.
Happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday. Happy
guys. Later.
All right. What do you think, Kamish? What's the big jazz right now?
Right now, this has just been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Get the participation, people calling in. It's just been great, man. I'm loving doing it. Appreciate the time we got on Sundays to do this. Shout out to IFM Radio. This IFM Radio Nation has been great. Talking with the IFM Sports
Director.
Talk ET. Yeah,
yeah,
the manager of the sports. He's been fantastic, super helpful. And just shout out to those guys for being great. Looking forward to future collaborations with them. They do a Tuesday night show, I believe around 8 o'clock. And I think they're going to start possibly doing some college sports stuff on Saturday. So looking forward to collaborating with those guys. And just to throw it out there, after the show, you will be able to find us on iHeartRadio, Apple and Google Podcasts, and Intune. Best way to do it is to search IFM Radio Nation, and the latest episodes will pop up, and you will see Brickhouse on there. You can Google search it. It will pop up. But if you're looking through any of your favorite podcasts and want to listen on a later date, search IFM Radio Nation, and you're going to see that Brickhouse link. So please click, listen in, and hopefully next week get a few more callers in. Any questions on your lineup, what's driving you nuts, what's getting you going, any of that stuff, we appreciate it. Still hoping that Albert calls back as well. We want that that first caller to hit us back so we can go over some Winston stuff. But DC, thank you much. You got anything to close it out with?
I mean, just shout out to the people, man. It's good to know that there's folks listening to our program, right? We're just a couple of guys doing our best. And thank you to the listener, because you know, we could just hang out and talk to each other without a live broadcast if it weren't for the listeners. So,
sure.
It's very much appreciated.
Also, just throwing it out there, if there are any questions, like kind of outside of the 1 o'clock game, so you got issues at the 4:30 games or Sunday night, Monday night games, feel free to reach out to us on Instagram. You could message the roster or any questions, and we'd be real happy to get back to you just to kind of help out with that. So.
Sure. We'll be happy to field any question. I mean, even if it's like a gambling question, you know, you want to put your ticket in with your bookie, right? We'll try, right? I mean, I know we got people listening for the picks of the week. Locking them in.
Absolutely. And we've been hitting more than we're missing, man. So your money would be up. Money's up.
Okay.
All right, another great show. Episode 3 is done. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you guys. Brickhouse Fantasy Radio is out. Have a great Sunday, and good luck with your fantasy football.
Out to the people.